You're listening to the Country Chat Podcast with your host, Dom.
Subscribe,
give a five-star rating, and follow us on Twitter
at country_chat.
And stay up to date.
Hi there, you're listening to the Country Chat Podcast with Dom. I've got a special guest with me today. He's the founder and managing director of Bells and Gals. He's also the manager of a fantastic artist called Louise Parker. Hiya, Nick.
How you doing, Dom? You good?
I'm good, Ty. Yourself?
Yes, it's a nice, calm Sunday afternoon. The sun's out and the spring has started, so it's all good.
That's the main thing. At least we've had a bit of wind and a bit of rain, but it's all improving now.
Yeah, it's all good.
All right, so to start with, we're going to talk about the Bells and Gals. So do you want to give a introduction onto what the Bells and Gals are and what you do and how it all came about? And
So Bells and Gals started in 2016, January 2016.
Yeah.
It started, I went to a gig to see an artist called Lindy Ortega in Cambridge on early to mid-January in 2016.
Yeah.
I went to the gig and basically I was so inspired by the gig and by the artist that I knew I had to kind of get more involved than just being a fan.
Yeah.
And I'd gone all the way to Cambridge. It was quite a long drive to the gig. So I had a long drive home in the dark. You know, you're in the car and you're thinking about stuff. And I thought, well, yeah, I've got to get more involved. And so I said to myself, when I get home, I'll apply to write for UK Countryside if I can.
Yeah.
So I got home. And then the very next day, I basically went online and checked out a few UK sites. And there's one site asking for writers. I emailed them and said, I'd like to get involved and do some writing for you. They sent an email back and said, can you do a test review, which I did, of the gig I've just gone to with Lindy Ortega.
Yeah.
Sent it off and but then didn't hear anything for about a week and a half. And I was a little bit annoyed, so I kind of had the idea, you know what, if you can't beat them, join them. So I thought I'd do it myself.
Yeah.
So I started Bells and Girls. The reason that it was Bells and Girls was at the time I was literally listening to 95% of the music I've listened to was female country music.
Yeah.
So that was, it was just a way, first, just a way for me to share the music I liked. So literally the first version of Bells and Girls was just YouTube videos. There was no comment, no text at all. It was just me sharing. On the first page of in the first month, there was like 9 or 10 YouTube videos and that was it. Literally, that was it.
Yeah.
And suddenly, UK artists, I'd got a bit of a following on social media on the back of it. I'd kind of pushed it quite hard on social media and I already had a few hundred followers just in the first couple of weeks. So UK artists messaged me and said, would you like to feature my new video on your website? So I did and got a little bit of traction. And it kind of gave me an idea that suddenly I thought, well, maybe I should do reviews and stuff as well.
Yeah.
So I started writing reviews and then on the back of that, I thought, well, maybe I'll do interviews as well. So I got to know a lot of the artists on the UK scene pretty quickly in the first few weeks.
I can imagine.
Literally, it started in January and C2C was just around the corner. So it kind of was perfectly timed. So
yeah.
I'd never been to a UK country gig at the time. So I didn't know, when I had met these guys online, I didn't actually know and hadn't seen them play.
Yeah.
But went to C2C and basically got really inspired by the pop-up stages. I didn't go to the arena, but I went around all the pop-up stages. Literally saw, must have been 10 to 15 UK artists.
Yeah.
Tried to chat to a few of them. But then that was probably the moment I fell in love with UK country music. And it's kind of inspired to, so if you've seen Bells and Girls, you'll know we've got a real focus on the UK. Obviously, we cover the US as well, widely. But there is a kind of, we do try and look after the UK scene as well. So within that first few weeks, we got to know a lot of artists. We kind of did interviews. We had the Wednesday interview. it lasted for about 6 weeks until 7th week. The artist didn't get back to me by the Wednesday, and I was a little bit annoyed. And I was thinking, I've got to change. So now we just put interviews as and when. And it's kind of grown solidly over the last 4 years, and we've gone from being just a website that does reviews and interviews to putting on gigs. we've got an ambassador scheme where 7 UK artists are our ambassadors.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've got a management side of the team. Originally, it was just literally me. Now there's like 11 or 12 team members.
Yeah.
And we've got a management team and a writing team separately. So, yeah, it's just kind of grown slowly but surely over the years. Different people have come on board and helped us out. And, yeah, it's been I've just enjoyed every minute, I've got to say.
Yeah. Going to the actual team aspect itself, what...
Yep.
When you hire a member of staff for Bells and Gals or a reviewer or a publicist or whatever you do hire for them... What is it you look for in a person, that je ne sais quoi, that X Factor feel?
The main thing I think is just a real passion for the genre. We're not asking to get the best writers or the best of someone who's got skills in kind of management side, but we're looking at people who are genuinely passionate about the genre.
Yeah.
You know, you can look for their social media, you can kind of see normally how kind of people they are. Yeah. And that's the first thing I would look at is go for their social media. And if they're always sharing country music, then they're probably the right person. If someone's got nothing on there at all, then they're probably not the right person. So,
yeah
it's not that complicated, but you do get a feel for certain people. And you get to know some people as well. I've brought in people on the team that I've got to know through social media as well. So,
yeah.
There's a bit of a mix, really. Yeah, yeah.
So, going back to the start of Bells and Gals, did you come up with any problems, or was it difficult trying to get the ball rolling initially, or did you come up with any unforeseen circumstances that would stop you or prevent you from moving forward, or was it just free-flowing?
To be honest, it kind of started free-flowing. We got, as I said, to quite a good start, got quite a bit of social media following, so that kind of gave me a confidence at the start already.
Yeah.
It probably took me... I'd say 3 years to get the site to where I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
It feels now I've got the kind of right team now to really push on. And I think in the last year it's really shown.
Yeah.
We've got some great members of staff now, and everyone kind of pulls together, and it really, really works. But it was difficult. There were stages when I didn't feel as involved as maybe I should have done, and we went through kind of lulls and then picked up again. But in the last year, it's been magic, and it's just kind of gone north quite quickly in the last year.
Well, it's awesome what you're doing. So, as a managing director for Bells and Gals, what is your direct role within the company then?
So, as I said, we've got two kind of sections of the team. So there's the management team. So we've got a 3-person management team.
Yeah.
One's Liam Lewis, who does a lot of the technical side. Search engine optimization, etc. Really kind of helps us in that regard. You know, if we put out a review, hopefully it will appear on page one of Google, which is a real boost for us. So he's brilliant on that side. So any technical questions, I'll go to Liam and he can answer it. We brought in Samantha Melrose, who did her own podcast, the Country Music Inside Track podcast, and she interviewed me probably 9 months ago or so, and I was just really impressed with knowledge of what we did.
Yeah.
Basically, I spoke to Liam. I said, look, I think Samantha's the right person to bring on board to the management team. And she's been a real driving force. And the last 6 months or so, the management team have really kind of really working well together.
Yeah.
And then we've got the writing team we've got our own kind of online group chats.
Yeah.
We discuss plans and stuff. And to be honest, it's like a family more. We talk tactics, but we also have quite a laugh. It's just a fun, everyone's fun to be around, and it's just, you know, we all care about each other, we've all got each other's back. So, yeah, it's a nice team.
Yeah. So who was the first artist you actually did a review or publicised about?
That would have been Emma Moore back in 2016.
Yeah.
She wrote a song on Valentine's Day. I can't remember what the song was called now, but I absolutely love the song. She's going to kill me because I can't remember the title.
She's a fantastic artist, I have to say.
Yeah, yeah. So we featured that song, and literally, I kind of saw that we could do reviews, interviews then, and then even gigs. A year after featuring Emma, she headlined her first ever gig.
Yeah.
Which was all back in... It was on our first anniversary in 2017. if you went up to Liverpool and did our first ever live gig, and yeah, it was a fantastic night, I thought so.
That's awesome. So going before Bells and Gals, what did you have any experience in the music industry or in writing reviews or that kind of genre, or was it something completely different?
No experience at all in the music industry. Just coming into it completely cold. I'm a freelance writer by trade.
Yeah.
So I do write really in the gambling industry. So it's a complete departure. I literally come into Bells and Gals completely cold. I had no clue what I was doing. To be honest, the first gig we ever did on first anniversary was a financial disaster because I just had no clue what I was doing. 3 years on, I've kind of learned a little bit, and you know, we're on the ball now. But yeah, at the start, it was.
That's it. You've got to have your falls before your rises. So.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So. Developing from 2016 to 2020, we've just had our first inaugural UK Country Music Spotlight Awards on the 23rd of February. How did that go for you?
It was absolutely magical for me. It was probably the highlight of the whole 4 years we've actually done so far.
Yeah.
It was kind of follow-on from... On our first anniversary, we did the BGAs, which were the Bells and Gals Awards.
Yeah.
It was an online awards scheme we did. We did that in 2017, 2018 and 2019.
Yeah.
This year, we made some changes relatively recently where we're now featuring UK male artists as well.
Yes.
On the site. So we decided that if we were going to do an awards this year, we wanted to feature the whole scene.
Yeah.
The original plan was literally just to make it the UK Country Music Spotlight Awards. We wasn't necessarily going to do a live event. But then 2 months before the event, we decided to just grab the ball by the horns and say, let's take it live and see what happens. To be honest, the 2 months leading up to it were crazy. There was so much to do and so little time. When we do one next year, we'll have a year to do it. So we'll be a lot more calmer. But to be honest, as a team, we pulled together and I think we did a fantastic job between us all. So, you know, full credit to the team. The amount of work they put in was fantastic.
If anybody wants to watch the highlights of the Spotlight Awards, you can follow them on DC Brown's Twitter page and his website. Also on your Bells and Gals website itself.
Yes. Yeah, so if you Google DC Brown live... you'll see he does thousands of UK country music videos. He's a great resource if you like that music. You can also go to bellsandgirls.com and there's a feature on your walls where you can see the videos, see some pictures, see all the award winners, all the nominations. It's all on there, yes.
Yeah. So I'm going to quickly go through the actual awards themselves and the winners. So the Best UK Musician was Tim Protty-Jones. The Best UK Festival was Dixie Fields. The Best UK Video was Twinnies, Better When I'm Drunk. The Best UK Group or Duo was Remember Monday. The Best UK Newcomer was 20. And the same with the Best UK Song, it was Twinnies Social Babies. The Industry Achievement Award was for Write Like a Girl. And the Best UK EP/album was Katie Hurt's Unfinished Business. Now, you mentioned you're bringing more males into the Bells and Gals. Now, one of the award winners was Best Male Artist, and that's Jake Morrell. What is your opinion of Jake Morrell's music, and can you see bright things for him in the future?
To be honest, I haven't heard much of Jake. I saw Jake play live. He supported, it might have been Lindsay L, earlier this year in London.
Yeah.
And I was just really impressed by what I saw. He's one of a kind of new breed of UK country artists who... doing their own thing. When you look at UK country, a lot of people get this idea that people are just doing impressions of US artists a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Which is really, really completely not true. But it's just the stereotype that people have built up. Jake's just one of the guys who he's creating his own music. He's country, but it's not US country, it's UK country.
And I
just see great things ahead for him. He's a lovely guy as well. I only got to speak to him briefly, but, you know, I've got a lovely vibe from the guy. So.
That's awesome. So I'll finish off these awards. So there was Best Female Artist, which was Katie Hurt. There was also the Best International Tour, which was Carrie Underwood's. There's Best International Song, Ingrid Andress, More Hearts Than Mine. Best International Album, The High Women, with the self-titled album, The High Women. Best International Artist is Miranda Lambert. And there's a special award that went to a member of your team called Astrid. She won the Bells and Gals Team Award. Tell me more about Astrid.
So, when I started in January 2016, within a couple of weeks, there was one person on social media who was retweeting everything I did, leaving comments and really getting involved in the site. So after a few weeks, I sent her a message saying, thanks a lot for what you're doing. It's really appreciated. It's really helping. This was obviously Astrid. So I said to her, look, do you want to come on board and give me a hand? So we advised quite early on that she would do video shouts. Yeah. Literally every day she would put out between 30 and 40 YouTube videos just on social media, shouting to different artists. And she literally did it literally every single day.
That's impressive.
It really helped spread her name. Obviously, we're tagged with, over the year, thousands and thousands of artists, and people got to hear about us. That was a key part of the site growing. You know, and to be honest, she did it up until recently. She hasn't got as much time to do the shouts anymore, but she's still involved, heavily involved with social media. But for her contribution over the years, you know, she fully deserved the award. She's played a major role in Bells and Girls being what it is today.
And the amazing thing as well is she's from Norway.
She is, yeah. So, she's out in UK country artists, but from Norway. So she's probably more knowledgeable about UK country in Norway than most UK people are. So.
Oh, definitely. I can imagine.
Yeah.
So at the start of the awards, it was opened by a fantastic performer called Louise Parker, who, coincidentally, you manage. So
yes.
Go on.
I started managing Louise for about 8 or 9 months ago, I'd say.
Yeah. Now, Louise gave us her story on events and how you met. Now I want your take on things. How did you meet Louise?
So, actually, Louise stitched me up a little bit when she gave you her version of events. So I'm just going to tell a quick story about Louise, which she doesn't actually know yet, but she'll probably be telling me off later on. So the first time I saw Louise was at Corn on the Cob Festival in Hartford, probably about a year ago, maybe just over. I actually went up to Louise before she went on and introduced myself and said, I'm Nick from Bells and Girls and looking forward to seeing you play. Saw her play and was pretty impressed by what I saw, obviously. Went up to her afterwards and said, hey, Louise, I thought that was fantastic. It'd be lovely to have a chat with you about for the website. And she was like, sorry, who are you again? she doesn't actually know that story, but she'll hear it now. So it was probably 6 months later that she came along to one of our gigs and we got chatting. And then I said, I'll give her a hand and we'd try and kind of build her profile and stuff. So we had a couple of coffees around the time. And then I'd had a gig in London lined up and we had an artist put out quite late on. So she stepped in.
Yeah.
There's kind of two real reasons that I kind of took the decision to manage Louise. So the first one was that day of the gig. I always get to a gig really early because I always like to get there before the artists, so I'm there when they turn up. So sound checks, I think it was 5 o'clock and I got there about 4:30. And then about 5 minutes after I turn up, Louise turns up like very early, like really eager.
Oh, really?
And so we're sitting there just having a drink, quite relaxed. And she started telling me about her music and how passionate she was. But it was quite really inspiring. She was so passionate that actually tears in her eyes. She was that passionate about her music.
Oh, wow.
I hadn't seen that level of passion with anyone else at all. It was just so kind of inspiring. So I actually went into the gig really hoping she'd do fantastically well.
Yeah.
And she did. She actually sparkled that night. After the gig immediately, I said to her, look, I do definitely want to work with you on a more serious basis. Maybe we give it a couple of months on a trial basis and then kind of sign a contract.
Yeah.
It's actually a few days later, I went to another UK country gig. It was two very good UK country artists playing. Louise wasn't playing. But I spent the whole night thinking, I won't name who they are, but I spent the whole night thinking they're good, but they're not Louise Parker. Louise Parker's got his spark.
Yeah.
You know, actually, I went home that night. First thing the next morning, I phoned Louise and said, look, let's set a management deal. Let's do it right away. So, yeah, and that, the rest is kind of history.
The rest is history.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's a fantastic artist. Now, I'm just going to quickly plug her information. So you can find her on Facebook and Twitter if you search Louise P Music or Louise Parker Music. She's also on iTunes and all your streaming platforms as well. So your Apple Music, your anything you can type in music, just search for Louise Parker. And that's it. We're going to talk more about you now.
Okay.
So we heard about what you did before you started Bells and Gals within the gambling industry and the freelance writing. Who would you do the freelance writing for? Is it just independent newspapers or blogs?
It was mainly for online on the review sites. So, you know, if there's an online casino, for example, I'd have to review like certain games in the casino and stuff. So I've been doing that for, must be about 10 years. Before that, I was actually in the banking industry. So my long-term career was banking industry. And then I left that to do the gambling side of things. So I went from a really safe, secure industry in banking to gambling, which is kind of the opposite, maybe. And now I've gone into music.
And then you took the dive and plunge into music.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got a lot of respect for what you've done for Bells and Gals. I mean, it's one of the reasons why I wanted to start this podcast, was just another platform to promote country artists, especially UK country artists, and in particular females as well. So yes, I've got a lot of respect for what you and the team do at Bells and Gals. Growing up, what kind of music would you listen to? Would it be country music, or was there a variety of music?
So when I was a kid, my mum used to listen to the likes of like Willie Nelson, Dr. Hook, and Kenny Rogers. As a kid, you don't particularly like the music your parents listen to. So I was obviously very young, and to be honest, so I, up until the age of maybe 33, I think it was, which is like 15 years ago, I'm actually giving away my age here, but I've never been into country at all. I had this kind of almost stereotypical view myself that it wasn't
it's all cowboy hats and belt buckles and honky-tonks.
But I'd gotten heavily into, the internet was quite young at that stage, and I just found it amazing that you could listen to radio from the US in England, and it's incredible for me. So even though I never particularly found a sound I really liked, I just liked listening to just general radio. So I'd find, and there's a radio station in Philadelphia that I absolutely love, I listened all the time. There was an artist on there called Ryan Adams who he had a song, but it was quite a rocky song at the time. So it wasn't particularly country, and I hadn't deemed it as country. I didn't even know it was a country artist at the time. But I read a paper review. It released a country album. So I just took a chance on it and ordered the album. This is in 2005. Bought the album, literally fell in love with it, and that kind of started a whole journey for me. But I kind of come in almost through the side door. So Ryan Adams is kind of all country, Americana side of things. So I got into, I bought all of his albums, and he used to be in a band called Whiskey Town, and I bought all their albums. Got into other similar kind of artists at the time, kind of you like Wilco,
Uncle
Tupelo. So weirdly, it's all male artists at the time. That was kind of my entry in. And over 10 years, I kind of really got into the sound, and I started moving away from the Americana all country into more kind of mainstream country. Started finding myself listening to like Miranda Lambert, kind of got on my radar. You know, Kacey Musgraves, when she appeared, I probably got into her group's like First Aid Kit, who was more kind of back in the Americana thing.
Yeah,
so it was at that point, that's how my country music love developed. So you know, I think everyone needs a kind of route into country, maybe, especially in the UK. Not many just like country, you kind of need a way in almost.
Well, the fantastic thing at the moment is we're actually having a lot more radio stations within the UK, whether it's internet-based radio or actual DAB radio. So we've got the likes of Country Hits Radio, we've got Chris Country, and there's She Wolf Radio as well, which does a lot with Bells and Gals.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot more streaming sites out there to introduce the UK to a lot of country music, and that's one of the things that I love as well, is the fact that you don't have to be American, you don't have to love these, you know, the old, you can love the old classics, you know, your Kenny Rogers and your Dolly Partons, because that's ultimately what we grew up with growing up. But now I'm only 27. Yeah. So I'm relatively new to the country music aspect of it. I only started really listening to country music in 2015 when I went to San Antonio. Okay. So it was the likes of, after that, it was John Pardy and Chris Stapleton. So it's more of the poppier country.
Yeah.
So it's great with listening to yourself and looking at what you've done with Bells and Gals. The development of UK country is just, it's out of the world at the moment. It's skyrocketing, and it's a fantastic industry to be in. So congratulations to you and the team.
Thank you very much. So my view, UK country, a lot of people can be quite down on it sometimes. You don't sell anywhere near as many tickets for UK country artists. If an artist comes over from Nashville, for example,
yeah,
they'll generally sell quite a few tickets. But what I will say is that I've found in the last 3 years that it's growing. It's easier for me to sell tickets today than it was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
That might be partly down to experience, because obviously I kind of now know which artists will sell tickets and stuff. But I feel confident enough. If an artist gets in touch with me and says, can you put on a gig for me? I'm at a stage now where a lot of mine will just say yes to, because I know that we'll do okay and we'll sell tickets and have a good night, which is the main thing. So,
I was absolutely gutted. Yesterday, I discovered that you won't be doing the Manchester gig with Louise Parker and Emma Jade at the Castle Hotel. What happened with that? Is it?
So the headliner basically had work commitments. So we've cancelled it for now. But we'll be putting it back on later in the year. So yeah, it's just one of them things where she was on a course and literally cannot get back to Manchester for the gig. So yeah, it's a real shame, but it will happen. So we'll do it hopefully September, October time. So it's not cancelled, it's kind of delayed.
Postponed, yeah. So going back to, you mentioned that you never used to go to any UK country festivals or gigs or anything like that. Do you go to many nowadays?
Most of the gigs I go to are my own, because we put on quite a lot. Usually we've probably got one or maybe like three or four a month at the moment.
Yeah.
So most of the time I'm going to my own, but obviously I do support a lot of UK artists, so I will go to other gigs as well. I don't go to many kind of international artists that come over. I'll generally only go to those if I get asked by a promoter specifically to do a review. I haven't seen too many in the last couple of years. I may have seen Casey Musgraves, but because we've got such a great team, I know a member of the team will cover those artists, so between us all we kind of managed to cover the whole scene. So it kind of works well.
I definitely recommend, if you do get chance, there's a country festival up here near where I live in York called Tower Fest. It's just based at Drax Power Station. There's a lot of fields and a lot of planes where they just pop up stages around, and it's a fantastic event. So if you can get Louise booked onto that, I'd be more than appreciative.
I shall have a go. I shall check it out, and I'll try to come myself, and I'll definitely try and get Louise on.
So going back to the Country Music Spotlight Awards, one of the questions I wanted to ask was, you've got a panel of, say, judges that choose the winners of the awards.
Yeah.
How do the winners get picked? Is it a majority vote? Is it just look at whoever gets, say, the most votes wins?
So what we did was we formed a panel of all of the members of the Bells and Girls team were on the panel. Plus, we went out to the industry. So we asked kind of festival owners, radio DJs, management companies, there's a few other people as well. So it was quite straightforward. So we asked. We gave everyone the categories. We asked them to vote 1, 2, 3 in each category. awarded 3 points for their first choice, 2 points for their second choice,
yeah,
1 point for their third. Literally put, added all the votes together. The top four voted artists were considered as nominated.
Yeah.
And the artist or the release that got the most votes was the winner. So we tried to keep it as uncomplicated as possible.
Yeah.
We tried to be as transparent as we can. So we announced who the panelists are on social media. So we want to keep it kind of open and, you know, so everyone knows. We tried to have a panel that encompassed all parts of the UK. So we didn't want one particular part of the UK to have a real focus. So the artists from that area all got votes. So we had people in Scotland, we had people in Wales, you know, the Southwest. We tried to cover as much as we could. We tried to have a good mouthpiece mix, which is another thing. Obviously, we're big on the Bells and Girls. So.
Yeah. So in 2021 awards, is there anybody in your opinion that are already shining through that might be potential nominees?
You could probably look at the nominees for Best Newcomers. That would be the obvious kind of place to look. There's some fantastic artists on there. I don't particularly like shouting individual artists. Actually, I run a site that covers all artists, so I find it difficult to pinpoint one name in particular.
It's a bit of a horrible question, that, really.
All I'll say is, you know, there's some fantastic artists out there, and I'm sure some of the artists who won this year will be back next year, but there'll be some great new faces appearing again as well. So we are looking to expand, hopefully, next year. We may do one or two more awards, and we're having a much bigger panel next year, so we're starting to put that together already.
Are you looking to hosting it again at the Water Rats in London, or are you looking at other venues? Or
right now, we're not sure. So we're talking to people at the moment. It may be back at Water Rats. We may go to another venue in London. The one thing we're definitely doing is because we organised it quite late this time around. The only date that worked for everyone was a Sunday. Which isn't ideal for people with work and stuff. So the next year will definitely be on a Saturday. That's the only decision we've completely concretely made so far.
Well, that's even better for me. I work a full-time job as well, because I don't get paid for this. This is what I do in my own time. So doing it on a Saturday is fantastic. For the likes of me, I live up in York, so it's a lot easier being a Saturday. Now, the tickets, will they be available on your website at a certain point?
Yeah, so we'll make them widely available nearer the time. We envisage having a venue in place probably by the middle of the year, June, July time. Hopefully that everything will be set up in terms of the venue. And then we'll hopefully be able to announce the artists who are playing as well on the night at that time. And then tickets will go on sale. And we'll be all over social media, so you won't be able to miss them. We do like shouting out ticket sales, so.
Well, if anybody actually checks out my Twitter page, you'll see that I actually share quite a lot of the Bells and Gals and the DC Brown stuff. And I try and promote yourselves as much as I can with what limited resources I have. So, yeah, congratulations on the whole Spotlight Awards and how well it all ran.
Thank you. It was kind of calm on the surface. Obviously, there was a lot going on beneath the surface.
We
actually had a bit of a nightmare on the evening itself. We had a folder with all the information we needed, including speeches, ticket sales, guest lists and stuff.
Yeah.
It actually just went missing. we left it in the green room at the venue on the table. Went to pick it up and it completely went missing. So we were scrabbling around on phones trying to get the ticket things.
No.
Guest list. We had a couple of speeches that we had to hand to Simon Birds on the stage via a phone, which we all printed out. So we couldn't believe we never actually found it. We don't know to this day what happened to it, but it was in the venue. It was on the table in the green room, but yeah, it disappeared. So, but we got there, so it was good.
Well, it was certainly a fantastic event. And like I mentioned earlier, if anybody wants to check out DC Brown's coverage of it all. Now, going back to the actual award night itself, you had the presenter itself was DJ Simon Birds. Yep. You had Matt Spracklin from Country Hits Radio actually present one of the awards. Now, how do you go about getting great names like themselves? Is it contacts through the industry, or is it just personal friends?
To be honest, we tried to with regards to the people presenting the awards, it was that was a case of kind of working out who was coming. We invited some people. One or two artists we realised were coming anyway, so we said to them, if you're... we put all the nominated artists on the guest list, so there was a few artists who come a long way. So we tried to if they were coming right away, we wanted to get them involved. So we asked them to present awards. Matt Spracklin was coming along on behalf of the British Country Music Festival, so because he was there anyway, I said, Matt, can you come and present an award? And he was like, yeah, great. So we asked Simon Birds a couple of weeks before the event to host it. He picks up on the awards and he devoted a whole show to the event, and he's got a real infectious nature.
So we
saw that and we just thought he's perfect. He's behind the awards. Who do we want to host it? We want someone who's involved. So we said to him straight away, Simon, can you come down and host it? And he was like, yeah, brilliant, I'd love to.
Yeah, just watching him doing, actually hosting the actual shows as well, you can see he's a lovely, kind, lovable man, really.
Yeah, I've never met him until the actual day. We travelled in together. I got to know him travelling in. Yeah, he's just a lovely guy, and he loves UK country, so... And that's what we want. We want people who love your country to be involved.
So in the next upcoming months, have you got anything planned gig-wise, or is there any events that you're pushing for the next few months?
The last couple of years, we've had a new an event called the Bells and Girls Showcase, which is at the Water at the same venue as the awards.
Yeah.
And we've rebranded that now to become the UK Country Music Awards, UK Country Music Spotlight Awards Showcase.
Yeah.
It's the same format, but the only difference being is previously it was all female. The next one, because we'd booked it already, is still all female. But from then on, we're inviting both male and female artists, so it'll be a mix of male and female artists playing the event going forward. And obviously, we'll put on other events. They'll be announced over the next few months. We've got one in London, the Green Note. Janine Berry's headlining.
Yeah.
Louise is supporting Janine on that night, so... But yeah, but there'll be events announced over the next few months as well. So
yeah, so everybody keep an eye on the Twitter account.
Yes. On the website, there is a live gigs page. So if people want to go to bellsandgirls.com and just hit the live link, all our gigs are on there, including the ticket links as well. So
now, finally, I'm going to ask you a few random questions.
Okay.
I did this with Louise. They're just completely random and just to get a feel of what you're like as a person, really. So the first one is, if you was to choose a drink, what is your favourite drink? Alcoholic or non-alcoholic? Or both?
I say Jack Daniels and Coke. If you saw the awards video, you would have seen me on stage with one in my hand. I got a little bit of stick for that, but I didn't mind. It was literally the first drink I'd had all night. But Louise did pick up on the fact that I had a drink in my hand on the awards, and she did take the piss out of me.
I saw a little meme of that on Twitter.
Yes. Which I was really pleased about, obviously.
Yeah, I noticed that you and Louise do have quite a lot of almost like fatherly, daughterly banter on Twitter. It's fantastic to see.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. I can take the mickey out of her and she can take it and she gives it back. So it is a lot of fun, actually. Yeah, we do have a bit of a back and forth on Twitter. Yeah.
Okay, so next question is, if you were to choose a biscuit, what kind of biscuit?
That'd be bourbon, 100%. They're perfect.
Oh, I love them. Yeah, love it. Yeah. Tea or coffee?
Actually, I've got a coffee in my hand right now, so I'll go with coffee. Although I do like tea as well.
Oh, can't beat a good coffee. TV programmes? Is there anything you watch in particular? Or
I'm very Netflix, so I'd go with... I'd go with my favourite show ever has to be Breaking Bad. It was just an amazing series.
Did you watch the spin-offs, the Better Call Saul and the El Camino?
I watched El Camino. I loved El Camino. I haven't quite got into Better Call Saul as much as I should, but I watched the first series, but I need to get back on that. El Camino was great. I like Walking Dead as well.
Do you ever keep watching, rewatching the seasons over and over again? I kind of get a bit obsessed and find myself watching it over.
I don't really, because I'm one of these guys who I watch it once and then kind of, because I've seen it, I don't really go back. Although I think it heavily is Game of Thrones, and I would rewatch episodes of that, especially the kind of major episodes. Yes.
Yeah. Is there any sports programs you like?
I love all sport. I'm a big football fan.
Go on.
Sports Spurs for me sins. I'll literally watch any sport. If it's on TV, I'll have it on. So yeah.
So what football team do you support?
Spurs.
Spurs.
So
I can't grumble with that.
I'm like 48 years old. We've never won anything, so
Oh, there's always time. I mean, from York, I'm actually originally from Leeds, so you can guess who I support.
Okay, yeah. you're doing okay.
So yeah, we're expecting to come up this season. I mean, we had a good few runs, so be playing you soon.
Yes. Thanks, Gio.
That's it, really. I'm going to list out your socials now. So we've got Nick on Twitter. He's at @NickBells_gals. That's NickBells_gals, which is GALS. On your Bells and Gals socials, you've got Facebook and Twitter, which is just Bells and Gals, spelled the same. Do you have a Instagram posts? Thank you for coming on, Nick. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, and like I've said throughout the podcast, I'm in awe of what you do, really.
I just want to say thanks to you guys as well, all you guys who support UK country music. You do an amazing job, and it all of us together hopefully help the scene immensely. So
that's it. It's all about promoting the artists themselves, because they've all got livings to make, and we've all got to enjoy country music itself. And as big fans, what other way to do it is other than pushing it ourselves?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's a great scene, and as I say, all I see is it's growing, and there's some great artists out there.
So yeah, thank you, Nick, and it's time to say goodbye. So take care, Nick, and hopefully I'll be seeing you very soon at one of your events.
Yes, I'm happy. If you want to come along, Dom, just come and say hi, and we'll see you there.
Brilliant. Take care, Nick, and that's it for now. Bye, everybody.
That was the Country Chat Podcast.
Join Dom next time for exclusive interviews, reviews, and general chit-chat on all things country music.